Today marks the 50th meditation in this Sheltering in Place series. Now, when a batsman achieves 50 runs in cricket, he usually pauses briefly, raising his bat to acknowledge the polite applause. Thank you, thank you. But for me, today has far more significance, for it also marks the third anniversary of the death of my good friend and dear cousin, Alan Kreider. Alan and Eleanor's marriage was built on love and mutual admiration and cemented by common interests in scholarship, in writing, and music. Many people have valued their joint work with the Anabaptist Network, with the London Mennonite Center, their years at Goshen and Elkhart, their hosting, and the creative ways they gave seminars, workshops, and lectures around the world. For me, Cousin Alan was also a special gateway into English church music. He would send me new recordings, give me insights into a composer's thinking, explain the English Reformation in ways I could better understand. His quiet prayers before meals on our travels exemplified for me an appreciation for and his awe of the eternal. I treasure memories of our trip to hear the monks chant at Solem, France. And it was his preaching at the London Mennonite Center that persuaded me to return to the church. So, with all of this in mind, I'm going to play a longer work today, something that is unlike music we normally hear, Peter Tchaikovsky's Hymn of the Cherubim. Lesser choirs struggle with this movement, but I found a recording that I think does it justice. Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky lived from 1840 to 1893, when he died at age 53 during a severe outbreak of cholera. The wealthy widow Nadezhda von Meck, whom he never met, gave him good financial support for his final 13 years, enough to enable him to do nothing but compose and conduct. So that's exactly what he did. In fact, he even conducted the inaugural concert of Carnegie Hall in New York City in 1891. Like most of his artistic contemporaries, Tchaikovsky was not seen at church all that often. He was, nevertheless, deeply attached to elements of its ritual and its spirituality. He wrote to his patroness, "There is nothing like entering an ancient church on a Saturday, standing in the semi-darkness with the scent of incense wafting through the air, lost in deep contemplation, searching for an answer to those perennial questions, wherefore, when, whither, why?" He also wrote about the church's liturgy. "I consider the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom one of the greatest productions of art. If we follow the service very carefully and enter into the meaning of every ceremony, it is impossible not to be profoundly moved by the liturgy of our own Orthodox Church, to be startled from one's trance by a burst from the choir, to be carried away by the poetry of this music, to be thrilled when the words ring out, 'Praise the name of the Lord.' All of this is infinitely precious to me, one of my deepest joys." Tchaikovsky composed Opus 41 in about 2 months during the summer of 1878. Church officials, however, refused to let it be performed anywhere. Russian officials then tried to confiscate the music. After a lengthy legal battle carried forward by his publisher, Russian composers were finally allowed to write new music in a new style when setting texts from the Orthodox liturgy. The text for today reads, "We who mystically represent the cherubim, and who sing to the life-giving Trinity the thrice holy hymn, let us now lay aside all earthly cares." This music shows us how to lay aside all earthly cares. We will be hearing the opening 7 minutes of only one movement, and not even an entire movement. None of the recordings presenting the entire movement have the same sense of awe that the Soviet chamber choir achieves. In line 2 of the text, you see the reference to the thrice holy hymn, meaning holy, 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 the song attributed to the cherubim in the book of Ezekiel. But instead of hearing those words sung, we hear music which invites us to enter into a state of awe as we contemplate God being with us on earth, God being present as we worship. This music may be the slowest moving music you have ever heard. But why should we be in a rush when meditating on that which is eternal? When you look at it that way, we have time. Now Tchaikovsky makes this clear. In this performance, the choir spends about 30 seconds on the first syllable of the first word. Russian choirs like this have perfected what we call staggered breathing. You will not hear the choir taking a collective breath until after 2 minutes and 30 seconds. This is not easily done, let me tell you. The choir also follows the marked dynamics in ways most others do not. When Tchaikovsky asks for a crescendo, asks that the music become a bit louder, usually shown by a horizontal hairpin, the choir does it, and sometimes for the exact length of the crescendo marking. Today's email includes both the text and translation, and a PDF score with translation. If you are interested, I invite you to follow the score. But you can also simply listen to the music and have it carry your prayers to God and give you a musical sense of God's embracing peace. This is a rare listening experience indeed. And in my mind, I am seated beside Alan, listening with him as we used to do together. And now I will hear it in an altogether different way. This is sung by the USSR Ministry of Culture Chamber Choir, Valery Polyansky conducting.